You are listening to the La Tavola Marque Radio Network. Welcome. Thank you for downloading and joining us for our little podcast from Italy. My name is Jason.
Ciao, and I'm Ashley. And we are here in the beautiful region of Le Marche. Our little podcast from Italy may be inconsistent at best, but we share stories of our life and recipes and festivals and things going on here in the beautiful region of Le Marche.
Yes, and it has been quite a while. I think it was last April, the last time we did the podcast, but we have a good excuse. We were busy with a house full of people, so here we are. We're back at it again after 8 months.
A little summer hiatus, if you will.
Yes. Today is the 26th of October. It is pretty warm out this morning, actually. A little overcast, and they're expecting rain through the weekend. It's been unseasonably warm here in early autumn. Well, it's late autumn now.
Well, actually, we had a hot summer, too. It was unseasonably warm. It was one of the hottest summers in 200 years. Well, it's always...
That's what they always say. dry and hot the whole summer long. The chickens refused to lay eggs for a while. The garden, which usually loves the hot weather, did not like it to be in the... in the 30s or in the 90s every day for literally 2 months.
But the tomatoes loved it.
Not so much.
Even they had a little, it was a little too hot for them.
It was a little too hot for everyone. But we're back. Autumn's here, and we're almost done with the season, thank God. Not to sound like, what's the word? Like a jerk, but I'm ready for the season to be over. I'm ready for people, as much as I love all our guests, I'm ready to have our house to ourselves, so I really don't have to put on, well, I don't really dress in nice clothing anyway, but maybe wear clothing at all. Or maybe if I can pee outside if I have to. You know, it's the countryside.
Plus, it's the season for ingrassare, to get fat. So we start eating a ton and packing on the pounds. It's kind of nice.
26th of October, the last weekend of the mushroom festivals going on in our area. It all starts off in the beginning of October in where?
Apecchio.
It does start in Apecchio.
Well, for the truffles.
Yeah. Starts off in Apecchio, first week in October, and it goes to Sant'Angelo, Aquilagna.
The truffle festivals will continue into Aquilagna, or in Aquilagna into November. For their big international white truffle festival. But last weekend, we went to the Moro Raduno and the white truffle festival in Sant'Angelo in Vado. And it was a blast. It's so much fun because this festival is like the Italian Sturges, is what I like to say. And it is when motorcyclists, bikes from all over Italy and Europe and the States come. And they line the streets in this tiny little town. And you see everything from Moto Guzzis. This year there was a huge Harley representation versus years past. But you arrive and you get a cool little mug and you can fill up at all the cantinas for free with wine. And everyone's out on the street singing and dancing. And it's a really fun night. And during that whole time, there's the Truffle Festival. So you can go and have samples of truffle products and smell and taste them. And all the menus are filled with shaved truffles on top. It's really a blast.
This year's truffles are actually expensive in compared to years gone by because the weather this August when we needed rain was very dry. So the truffles this year are small, the white truffles, and hard to find. Now, be careful because when you go to these truffle festivals, there must be a certificate of authenticity with the truffles, and you'll see it. It'll be right next to their little display. And what they do is if they find truffles, let's say, in Sant'Angelo in Vado, they take it to the comune, and the comune certifies that those are truffles from our area. Because a lot of times, vendors will bring truffles from Croatia, Slovenia, other places where they're cheaper to find, and pass them off as Italian truffles. So, if you are going to pay 2 to 3,000 euros a kilo, that's right, folks, Make sure you're buying the real deal.
So many people ask Jason, how do you cook with truffles? How do you cook with truffles? Or we'll get emails that they want to take a truffle cooking class. What would you say to those people curious on how do you cook truffles?
Well, first of all, you don't cook truffles. Truffles never want to hit the heat of a pan. You shave truffles over things. So, yeah, like Ashley said, people, I want to take a truffle cooking class. Well, first of all, I need 100 grams of truffles per person to do a truffle cooking class, which will cost between 200 and 350 euros, depending on, you know, what's going on. Secondly, there's no cooking of truffles. Let's grill a steak. Shave truffle over it. Let's make a frittata. Shave truffle over it. Let's toast some bread and make a crostini and shave truffle over it. Make pasta and just shave the truffle over. So there's really no cooking to go along with truffles. It's really just something that you add over the top of whatever you do afterwards to get the aroma. And the heat from the dish will kind of get the truffles going. But just like olive oil or just like many, many other things, as soon as it hits the heat of the pan, all the taste is gone.
So if someone was lucky enough to find a truffle in the States, how do you make the tagliatelle with con tartufo? tagliatelle pasta with truffles? Because that's one of the most famous dishes, I would say.
Tagliatelle with truffle, very, very easy. Here we go. In a frying pan, take a couple of glugs of olive oil and a clove of garlic. Brown the garlic on low heat, remove and discard. Throw in a sleeve of sage and throw that in. Then cook your pasta. Dump your pasta directly into the pan with the garlic, with the sage and the olive oil. What else do I put in there? Oh, yeah, brodo. Next goes a little beef stock, followed by
just a couple spoonfuls,
followed by one egg yolk. You toss those together with the pan heat off so the egg doesn't curdle. And then a little bit of the pasta water to get the consistency right. Crack a salt, crack a pepper. And that's all she wrote. It's basically you're making the base of a carbonara. That's really how you make a carbonara, except for carbonara, you would take the pancetta and render the fat out, and then toss the pasta, and then crack the egg in it, and put the cheese. Cheese at the end, of course. Here we do all of that, except we use olive oil instead of pancetta, because it's a much lighter dish. But that's it. That is spaghetti or tagliatelle with truffles, and it takes about 3 minutes to make the whole dish.
The sage leaf in it is really nice, actually, too.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that sage would go in there because it's such a strong flavor, but if you put one leaf of sage, it gives this
rounded out,
like a foresty flavor. Mm-hmm. Remember, if it grows together, it goes together, and anything you find in the forest will go together. Juniper always goes great with a venison leg because juniper and the deer live right next to each other. So keep that in mind. Also for the garden, broccoli will always go with carrots because they come up at the same time, whereas artichokes are not going to go with sweet potatoes. Two totally different seasons. Artichokes being spring, sweet potatoes being fall, and they just don't go together. But keep that in mind when you're walking through the grocery store. If it grows together, it goes together.
It's I like that. All right, so what else is going on?
The chicken. Let's see. The garden is coming to an end.
Yesterday we took down the tomato stakes and the like those huge bamboo, what would you call them? Stakes, but they're poles.
The bamboo poles that we tie the tomatoes up to.
Oh my God. Jason, how many bags? Like 3 bags of ties we took off. Oh, it was tedious work cutting through each thing. And just every tie I cut made me think, Jason put this on earlier in the spring and how much work that was to take it all down and start over again.
Yep. We closed the pool. We've put away all the outdoor furniture, the tables and the chairs. It's really never before have, I'm from California. You don't prepare for winter. Winter's, instead of it being 85 every day, it's now 65 every day. So there's no preparing for winter. But out here, there's definitely preparations for winter, and it takes a while.
Well, also, it's because there's talk in town of November could be the snowiest November on record. So it's like, then you get like the Chicken Little effect too, that it's like, oh my God, we've got to get extra prepared. Is it going to snow? Do we need chains already?
Well, the apocalypse is always on its way, as are the robots. it's been warm so far, but we got the wood all stacked up and ready to go. We've got the, all the hoses and tubes put away from the garden. The chickens do not know it, but they are they're going to meet their fate probably next week.
Oh, the chicken slaughter begins.
Why do you slaughter your chickens every year, Ashley?
Do you want the farm answer or the truthful answer?
Truthful answer.
I like things that we can kill so we can go on vacation. We don't kill our cats, but chickens, that's why I would love to get pigs. Because if we slaughter them in the fall, it means we can go somewhere on holiday in the winter. But also, I really think, in all honesty, that in the winter here, it does get cold. We don't have a heat lamp down in the chicken coop or anything. And when it freezes, we have to change the water twice a day. And the snow, like, to shovel out a path of snow for the chickens when you can barely shovel a path from our door to the kitchen door is ridiculous. So I think it's a nice kind of a cleansing and shutting down of everything. And we've killed the chickens, so we have food to eat over the winter. Then we can make broths and roasts and things like that.
Well, we have 18 hens and 2 roosters, so it will be a lot of work one day.
It is.
Next week.
It is. But it'll be good. We can give some as gifts to Gaji and Carolyn and things like that, too.
Absolutely. We made the first sausages of the season. We made about 6 kilos or 13 pounds or so with the Gajster the other day. And he brought most of those up to the Kapana for hunting season. Hunting season is open and in full force. Not as many shots every morning as there were in years past. We've had a lot of fog, a lot of foggy mornings, so I think that hampers the hunters a little bit, which is why Gaji made a bunch of sausages, because when they don't shoot any of the passing birds, they eat delicious, huge breakfasts.
It's like they're waiting out the fog, so they're going to eat while they wait.
So his breakfast, I'm sure, at 7 o'clock in the morning. Now, mind you, Italians take a coffee and maybe a brioche or a piece of pastry, and that's it. Their breakfast the other morning was sausages, barlotti beans, pecorino cheese. Didn't they bring something else?
Something else, but we're talking, he said they had like a, how much would be in a can of beans?
I don't know. They had more food than six guys
yeah,
should eat.
It was, the ratios were extreme, and it sounded like, yeah, they really enjoy strapping on the feed bag if that fog's sitting there.
Yeah, after a breakfast of that, and probably washed down with lots of red wine and some grappa after, it's nap time for me.
And do you think they're eating at like 8 or earlier, or what time do you
think?
Well,
you know, they get up there like 5:45.
I know. We hear Gaji honk as he drives by.
He does. Every morning he drives by and freaking lays on the horn. He doesn't lay on the horn, but he gives a solid couple of two beeps.
He doesn't want us to miss it, that's for sure.
He wants us to know exactly what exactly what time he's driving by.
But it was fun pulling out the old meat machine and feeling like, all right, it's sausage making season again. Now that it's colder and we can do small batches, and soon January will be here and we'll be making them to cure. But it's fun. I do. It's cool. Gaji still gives you a hard time every single time that you make them. Oh, you don't have the touch. Or you can't do this without me. He just loves to bust chops.
Now that the season's coming to an end, some projects we're going to have around the house this year is, let's see, the entire inside of the house needs to be painted. That will be wonderful to do. What else? What are your projects?
I'm writing a book, so that's going to be one hell of a project. But, God, are we going to do the shutters?
I hope not.
I hope not either.
The shutters need to be stripped and restained on all the windows and doors, which is a horrible, horrible job.
Horrible. Like, you have to get a tool that goes in between every little
slat, yeah.
And that is painful. Oh, my God. Plus, just taking them all off and stacking them up. Oh, God, doing winter projects. Jason yesterday was a chimney sweep and was up on our roof of our little place.
So, again, living in California, you don't use your fireplace but twice a year. So here we
just
use
for
it.
For a show.
Yeah, we use it every single day in the winter, in the colder months. So I learned that you must get your chimney swept so the creosote?
Again, we
Let's call it resin. The resin doesn't build up in the chimney and then catch your house on fire because it's very, very flammable. So we call the chimney sweep guy and we tell him, yes, we have two or three. We need you to come and clean. Mind you, there's one guy in the whole valley.
And you called him in August.
I called him in August. He said, yes, yes. The next date I have opened is December.
Ouch. So, yes, Jason had to become a chimney sweep. And these are things, like he said, growing up on the West Coast or California, you're not, like, in warm weather thinking about sweeping a chimney or that you should be doing it every year. So finally he gets on the roof and...
Gets on the roof with 6 meters of pole and this big brush at the end of it.
And climbing a ladder that's so dangerous and a tetanus shot waiting to happen.
It's not hard. It's not hard to, you know, it's just like it's a big pipe cleaner is what it is, but... Scooping all the crap out that falls at the bottom is messy and dirty, and that black stuff, it's like you do look like it's Mary Poppins. It's really hysterical, and it gets everywhere. So my little bit of advice would be hire someone to do this work who does it every day because it is not fun.
Or clean.
I had
to repaint the wall.
Ashley had to repaint the wall because that black stuff got on the wall, and that's it. Do not take a sponge to the black stuff that comes out of the chimney because it just makes, like, the deepest, blackest mud you've ever seen.
Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible.
A couple of let's see. What did we do this? We went to this September. We went for the first time to Ireland. We went and saw the Notre Dame Fighting Irish play the Navy, the Goats.
Yep, that was great. We took a little closed-up shop. Yeah, took 2 days to take a little break for an experience that was absolutely incredible. We hadn't seen live, especially college football, in at least 5 years since we had moved. So the opportunity to go see American football in Europe was just priceless. It was so much fun. I think there was 5,000 Americans that flew into Ireland for that game.
5,000, huh?
That's 50,000. Sorry.
My wife, while very talented in many, many, many areas, weights and measures not her strong suit.
Or population.
Or
numbers. With the numbers.
No. 5,000, 50,000, you know, a stadium full. What does a banana cost? $10?
God.
So that was great. I highly recommend Ireland, anywhere in Ireland. The people were great.
The funniest thing was we went to get, restock some food at halftime. And of course there's like Guinness stands everywhere and just massive amounts of beer. But at halftime, we go to get some more hot dogs and popcorn and whatnot. And the Americans had eaten through the stadium because the Irish aren't used to eating 4 hot dogs a person.
Well, not that everyone ate 4.
No, we did.
I think that the Irish eat lunch or dinner. You know, they eat their meal before or after the game, and they drink Guinness during the game.
Exactly.
And I don't think they were ready. As Americans, we like to eat food at the game.
Graze.
Which is totally different in culture. So by halftime, there was not a hot dog, popcorn, nothing. If you wanted a Guinness, oh, they got that. But God forbid you were diabetic and had low blood sugar, you are screwed.
Yes. It was funny, though.
But the stadium was gorgeous. The game wasn't so great. Notre Dame killed them. But I highly recommend Dublin. Cheap flights always from New York to Dublin. And go. Irish people are awesome. They're really, really nice. Other than that, we have been at home for the last 8 months just working. The season went well. There was a downturn in tourism in general here in Italy this year, so everyone felt the pinch, as well as the austerity, the measures that they've taken here in Europe. Everything has gone up in price by anywhere from 10 to 20%, everything. Gas is expensive.
I was just gonna say gas.
electricity got really expensive. The contributions for our pension and our taxes, they raised the sales tax or value-added tax to 21%. It just seems like 2012, it got a lot more expensive to live in Italy this year.
People are much more handing out receipts and things like that, you might notice. Oh, don't forget your receipt.
Don't forget your receipt.
And we're like, we're in Piobico. Why do we need a receipt from the Vendora? And sure enough, she's like, just take it.
Again, looking forward to closing up shop here. Looking forward to having our house back.
I was going to say that the fall was great because we've had, like you mentioned, this warm fall, but because we've had such foggy mornings, it has made spectacular mushroom season we went and would collect basketfuls in about half an hour with Gaji and the guests mushroom hunting. It was great. How many times we brought back porcini and
the bieta,
exactly. And the, what are the ones that are the, Chanterelle,
or we call them Giallini. The difference between regular wild mushrooms and truffles is truffles need water in rain in August to make the truffles for October, November. Whereas the wild mushrooms, the porcini, the bieta, all those, they'll start popping up 10 days to 2 weeks after a good rain.
With heat after. They need that kind of cycle.
They need the warm weather. So we had a really, really wet September. And that made for great mushrooms here in October, and they'll be into November. But the truffles are small this year.
But the mushroom hunting also means waking up to finding people traipsing through your yard. As we've been recording this podcast, a mushroom hunter walked by our back door. We saw him pass with his dog, and he looked, and you might have even heard him say, Lila, vieni qui. But... So you also know, okay, you can go out into they're a good, great indicator because these diehards really follow that cycle for the mushroom. And if you start to see a few of those guys, you know, it's time to grab your basket and your boots and head into the woods. But it was really fulfilling to find so many this year. And even the ones that were bad were just abundant. So it was fun to go back into the woods and see just the floor alive with this fungi.
It made it great for when we took guests into the back. I mean, just to see there's mushrooms everywhere. Not all of them good. Most of them will kill you.
No, and Gaji likes to point that out to people. And he's a doctor. It's all right. I'm a doctor. I'm certified. But he'll either test it or he'll have a guest put a tiny piece of one on their tongue and say, si pizzicante. Like it, not pizzicante. Sorry.
Pica la lingua.
Sorry. What was ooh, spicy. Picante. But it'll say, oh, it's like tickling your tongue. Or, so this is what you would look for if this is a bad sign of a mushroom not to eat.
One thing we have to admit that this year, our Italian has gone downhill.
Embarrassing.
Just for the simple fact that, well, we speak much, much more English during the season with our guests. I get to go almost every day into do shopping, so I get to speak Italian much more than Ashley does. But, woo, your Italian is horrid.
I know. I've been home all summer long. I'll be here doing breakfast and doing everything with the guests, so I don't get a chance to leave much. And it is, I can just feel I've gone backwards. So this winter, that's a whole project again. Restudy books.
I would study with you, but I think I'm on another level. So
maybe
once you study a little bit and you come back up, maybe we can do together studying. But I don't know.
Wow.
I don't really need review. Wow. I don't need review. Wow.
We are competitive.
Pizzicante.
I don't know. What did I say?
I don't know. That was like a cross between like caliente and I don't know. That was Ashley's word right there.
All right, let's move on.
So we're taking, this is a little slice of life, little interesting tidbit. We're taking care of our neighbor's dog, Soom. He's a gorgeous Rhodesian Ridgeback. And we usually take him every autumn for at least a couple of weeks while our friends Carolyn and Luke go out of town or go on holiday. And the first day we had him the other day, I don't know what happened. He either stepped in something or... like walked through, like got his foot caught, his back right leg caught in a fence and kind of scraped it up. Anyway, long story short, we had to take him to the vet. And I was on the phone with my brother the other day talking about this and the difference in prices for the vet. Now, we took Zoom to the vet. We did the whole visit.
Workup.
The doctor gave him some shots. He gave him two prescriptions, one for an anti-inflammatory and one for a antibiotic because we don't want to get the infection.
Since he's a huge dog, it's not just a pill a day.
It's a handful. Try shoving a handful of pills down an 85-pound dog's mouth who doesn't want to take them. But that's besides the point. But grand total price for all of this veterinarian work, 35 euro. Now, I was on the phone with my brother the other day. Now, his dog got parvo, which is some really serious disease that dogs that you adopt from the shelter can get. He spent $4,000 taking care of his dog in a week. Here, he said, I don't know. You can email us and tell us what you think it would be. But he said it would be hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And it's just one of those interesting things what the Italians would never pay that much money. There's no Italian I don't know of that would get cancer treatment for their dog.
No.
Or have their dog go to ICU or any of that stuff. It's just a different mentality with dogs. And we were talking about that the other day, that as much as we love our cats and our animals, they're animals and they're not – it's changed the way I look at them, that there's no way I would put well, Soom's different. I love Soom. He's special. But
he's a good boy.
He's a good boy. But wow, what a difference in mentality. Is it just the healthcare system spilling over from people to dogs that makes it cost that much?
Yeah,
or?
Exactly. Because obviously the cost of the pills or the service, why is the same procedure here valued so much less than it would be in the States?
But I couldn't believe that. I was ready. I was ready for them. I had the credit card ready. Like, oh man, I only have like 100 euro on me. And he does the whole thing, types it all. He's like, 35. I'm sorry. We had to give him more, you know, a higher dose of the antibiotic than we normally do. And I'm like, yeah, don't worry. Here you go. Take the 35 euro.
Well, we have our little cat family, and we've taken them to the vet before and taken two or three in at a time with something. And I'll say, okay, so what's the total? And they'll just kind of look at me and go, oh, don't worry about it. And you think, all right, I guess we should bake you a crostata or something for the vets. Maybe that's a nice thing to do. But it's pretty incredible.
But Zoom's good. His foot looks much better. He's healing nicely. Today we'll go back to doing his hour and a half walk in the morning. And yeah, just an interesting little Italian fun fact. So, Ashley, what is going on? What are you doing the rest of this day? Now that it's 8:15 in the morning.
Well, actually, I'm really excited because tonight we were invited to a dinner to get to know you in Piobico at a bread bake.
That makes no sense. What do you mean get to know you? Get to know the community.
Oh, get to know each other, like a get to know you dinner. What would you call that? Like a meet and greet,
yes,
kind of thing at a place called Slow Food Canada or Slow Canada. I have no idea, actually. I've seen their sign in Piobico pointing towards the top of Monte Nerone, and I just keep hearing from different people that they bake incredible bread. So that's all I needed to hear, and I said, yes, we will be there at dinner, but it'll be nice to get to meet this new agriturismo, and I'm curious if they're from Canada or what that relationship is, but that will be fun, and dinner at 8:30, so gosh, now that it's starting to get dark early, we're in bed by 8:30 now.
Well, not yet, but
not yet, but it'll be like, oh god, to leave at 7:30, you know, 8 o'clock, this is going to be difficult to get Jason out of the house at that time, but, and then, gosh, I don't know, what else is going on?
We have to finish cleaning up. Hopefully the laundry service will come and pick up their 10 sacks of laundry that they haven't picked up. I told them the other day, the first few years we would launder all the sheets and towels and everything for all the guests. But the problem with that is we don't have a dryer, so you hang them up. And even if one tiny little bug comes while it's drying and sticks on there and makes a mark, that's it. You have to throw it back in the washer. So last year we got smart and got a service who you rent the sheets linens. And towels, the linens. Thank you. All I could think of was Lynn Swona. You rent the sheets and towels and, they come and pick it up just like a normal, you know, they have them all over the world. But anyway, this particular laundry service we have doesn't like to pick up the dirty stuff. So we have 10 giant bags of laundry here that I don't have room to like keep this stuff. So finally, well, this is the third call we've made in 3 weeks that, hey, when are you coming to picking up your stuff?
And they said today.
They said today. And I told them, if it's not here today, I'm leaving it outside and it's supposed to rain all weekend. So it's up to you, buddy.
Good luck with that.
Good luck with that. But my God, you'd think they would want this. But this is a good amount of dirty linen.
That place is huge. They must not even notice.
Awesome. So awesome. Whatever.
So there's that. What else is going on?
What else is going on?
Oh, you said you picked, when we were in the garden, you said that there was a gorgeous pumpkin. Are you going to make some pumpkin pie or something, possibly?
I don't. Ashley's been bugging me to make a pumpkin pie for the last couple of days.
Yes, but he doesn't want to because to make the crust, what's the secret ingredient?
Pork fat, lard. We don't have Crisco here. You make your pie crust with lard, and it's awesome. The only problem
is flaky deliciousness.
We can't serve this to guests because it is definitely not Italian, so which means that there will be one pumpkin pie sitting around that the fork will just stay in the pie tin.
I like to keep a fork or knife in a pie tin. You just kind of clean up the edges as you walk by. Take a little sliver. Oh, it's so good. But, oh, we'll have to wait till we've got family in town.
Yeah, we have Ashley's brother Jerome coming into town the beginning of November. So that will be a good he's 20 and he can eat whatever he wants. So that'd be a good time. We'll make a pumpkin pie. We'll make all that crap and let him eat it. I don't need to. I'm fat enough. I don't need to jumpstart the fluffing period of winter by throwing down half a pumpkin pie.
Well, and speaking of the garden, one more thing. What do we have to do before it freezes? Because I know that right as it freezes, there's a bunch of, like, the last, some stuff is hardy and survives, so those are the winter cabbages and broccolis. But we put down the poles, but don't we have to bring the peppers? Or is there anything else?
We'll pick all the peppers. We'll go through and see if there's any tomatoes worth salvaging. The tomatoes, it's been too cold at night, so they're, like, mealy. If you ever get, like, those mealy tomatoes.
It's gross.
What else? The cucumbers are done. All the summer stuff is really done. It's the winter stuff that'll.
Oh, what about the beans?
The Barlotti did not. They make the pods, the late Barlotti I planted, but they did not make beans inside the pods.
Oh, because I was going to say they looked so good down there.
They do look good, but there's nothing inside
the pods. It's all for show.
It's all show. The only thing we would have to do is the cabbages or the cauliflower and the broccoli. If it does freeze, I'll throw a little floating row cover over the top so the broccoli and cabbage or cauliflower doesn't freeze. The cabbages like a little frost, so they'll be fine. But at this time every year, I'm kind of done with the garden, man. It's been 6-7 months of every day, and I'm ready to put the garden away. I'm ready for the tractor to come by and plow everything under and let it sit for the winter. Yeah, I'm ready to be done. I'm ready to close up some toilets and drain some pipes and shut some gas off and throw sheets over furniture.
Oh, and we have to remember to make sure that the antifreeze or whatever it is goes into the pipes this year, because didn't you find the huge container next to
There's a long list of crap to do before we clean up. As I'm sure all 4 of you listening from cold weather climates, you know what I'm talking about. They're like, listen to this puss who complains about shutting stuff up for the winter.
I know. It's not like we're from Calgary or anything.
No, then I'd be tough. I'd know how to deal with the winter. But we've gotten much better now. We've gotten much better in
our... We're not burning wet wood anymore.
This is true.
Well, on that, should we get working for the day?
It is. It's time to get going. Thank you so much for listening, and no guarantees that we will do this any more frequently than the once every 8 months we've done it before, but hey, you never know.
Maybe you never know.
We'll surprise yourself. If you enjoy what you've heard, please tell a friend, like us on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, and that makes us move up so more people can find us out. If you're looking to find us on Twitter, Facebook, or our website, give out all the... Bring it home, Ash.
Bring it home, baby. All right. Well, on Facebook for sure, because we post different recipes and photos almost daily. And Twitter as well, and our blog and website. And it's all La Tavola Marche. LATAVOLAMARCHE. La Tavola Marche. All right. Have a great day. Buona giornata.
From beautiful Piobico, Italy, where it's overcast and gonna be cold and rainy. Thank you so much for listening, and have a wonderful day. If you have any questions or comments, send them in. We always need stuff to talk about, and you guys always have great, great feedback. So please, let us know. All right. Have a good one. Talk to you later. Ciao.